This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
And hello, Hearts of Oak. Thank you once again for coming and joining us. And it's wonderful to go across the pond, a comedian who I've had fun following on Getter, and that is Tim Young. Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
How hacky am I that I show? I always wear this hat and I've got my shirt on. I'm merched out today. I just realized I'm merched out today. And like, that's so bad. I'm so like desperate for money. Jeez, that's what happens in America. We're just money grubbers. The worst. Well, Hearts of Oak is such a kind, like it's like this kind and warm, and I'm like, now I'm just here to cash in.
Well, people can go to the website, which I'll bring up, and they can go and purchase any of your merch, timyoung.com. Also, Tim runs his mouth on Twitter and on Getter. How are you still on Twitter?
I don't understand. Actually, it's back and forth for me, right? Like I see how some people get banned. I have edited myself appropriately, which is unfortunate too. That's why I really like Getter, is that I'm unedited there, and my live streams on Getter, I can say whatever. You know, my live streams, when I would do live streams on Twitter, when they had Periscope attached to it, I would get flagged. People would get prompts in the middle of my my live streams. Is this appropriate? Is this pushing bad information? And they would have to click to keep it going. And just FYI, they will shut down your stream if enough trolls hit that it's inappropriate or whatever. Yep. And so, I mean, I'm grateful for platforms like Getter, where I literally will say, and I'm sure you've seen this, where I go, hey, I'm going to get drunk in about like an hour if you guys want to like hang out and have a drink with me.
I saw spoiler that yesterday. Alert. Yeah.
Spoiler alert. I'm never really drunk, but I do enjoy drinking and having a good time on here. In fact, somebody, it was really bad. So somebody the other day asked me, you know, people said, hey, will you follow us? And, you know, I don't understand following people back. I will. I mean, I don't care. But in fact, I just followed you back. How about that? I'm a nice guy. But they were like, oh, you only follow me because you're drunk. And I'm like, no, come on. Like, you know, I like seeing what other people have to say. So
when are your shows on Getter? When can
they're supposed to? They're supposed to be 4:30, but get this, just follow me. They happen whenever I feel like. That's, I like doing 4:30 in the afternoon. Look, you know, like keeping a schedule is tough, especially you're a big media guy. I'm a media guy. And so we're all over the place, and getting breaks are few and far between. And I should do a regular at, it's supposed to be 4:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
But I just end up going whenever, and people turn up to it, you know? So like, yeah. The other day I had, I think like 3,000 people tuned in or something to see me do a minute in the morning. I was just like, hey, what's up? I'm going on the radio. This is a minute, you know, it does shit. But like, I will go random when I feel like it, because here's my thing. You have a really good interview show. I really enjoy watching it.
Thank you.
But like for me, I think political podcasts, especially American political podcasts, I think the market's saturated. Now, every producer I work with screams that I should be doing more production. But I just think that the market is saturated, and my voice has to be something that I really am passionate about and really care about to do something live. And when I do, I think the product is way better. But for the most part, like doing a live, I mean, I don't want to waste your time. You know, I want to make sure that there's something good, and I want to make sure that the product, same reason that like, people had to really twist my arm to sell No hats and all this other stuff. No is a tattoo that I have. And when they did, you know, it did well, but I had to really believe in the value of it and be convinced of the value of it before I did it. So it's,
no, I get that. You watch so much stuff and you think, actually, it can be fun producing content, but how much can people take, and the amount of stuff? So yours has to be good. It has to be enticing. It has to pull people in, and just not to fill an hour. So I get that. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and for me, like, you know, when I do like, I'm going to go drink, come join me. Like, it's just fun and off the cuff for the most part. That's where I want to be with it. And I'm not, if I drink at 4:30, I'll be asleep by 6 p.m.
Here, so for viewers, for UK viewers and listeners, you're a comedian, pundit, best-selling author, three books. Your latest book in 2018 was I Hate Democrats, I Hate Republicans. And one of the lines, and it was great, is in a time where people are trying to figure out who's right and who's wrong in politics, here's a book brave enough to say that everyone is wrong. And that's no more true, truer today than it was 4 years ago. And you do stand up lots of places. People can watch your show. Talked about you're president and founder of IDs Across America. I mean, tell us about that before we jump into what America is.
So here's the thing. All these things. By the way, I haven't done stand up in so long that it's shameful. And I think I'm going to be taping a special here pretty soon and then going back on the road. I miss it so much. But when it comes down to like all the other things that I do, it's such a tiny piece. It's the most work for the least return. And so like, again, it's one of those things. I just got to get off my butt and do it. But so IDs Across America, I came up with this idea and it's not even really it's serious, but it'll never be used. It's a narrative killer is what I called it. So one of the narratives in America is that people, disadvantaged communities are unable to get IDs. Everybody can get an ID. They're free. You can walk into any MVA, libraries help you get there. Anybody can help you get an ID. That's what prevents them from voting. They're saying there's this huge community of people who can't vote in America because they can't get an ID, which, by the way, also goes into racism and everything else you can think of, because usually they say it's black people who have no idea how to get IDs. It's incredibly racist. So I said, hey, let's one day on the radio, I was sitting around and I said, hey, let's just do IDs Across America. We'll come up with this idea. And if anybody needs help with an ID, they can come find it. We have volunteers in all 50 states now. I have about 1,000 volunteers in 50 states. We have yet to have one singular request for help with anything. I mean, people would just have to go to my website. But then again, according to Joe Biden and the Democrats, if you can't get an ID, you're probably too dumb to use the internet, too. I think he actually said at one point that Hispanic people and black people don't know how to use the internet or have trouble logging on the internet to be able to find vaccine places. So again, these, you know, the soft bigotry of low expectations, I believe, is the phrase. But if anybody ever needed help getting an ID, I'd probably pay for it because it's like $10 or free in most places. And as soon as I announced the organization, the Attorney General of Texas endorsed it. And I'm like, yes, this is, he gets it. He gets it. So, a lot of people love it. I've also gotten the nod from a couple of members of Congress, too. So, you know, it's fun. And if people need help, we're there to help, but nobody's ever going to need help.
How you kind of were on the edge looking into what's happening, commentating, taking comedy out of it. How seriously would you get involved in politics, or have you seen too much and never go near there?
I lived in D.C. I was in it. I advise members of Congress to this day and comms people that advise members of Congress. And so I was so upset about the most recent $40 billion donation to or handout to the Ukraine war it's our laundromat, right? I don't know what you guys call it over there, but it's our laundromat. We wash all our money there and it comes back to our politicians and our military industrial complex.
Baby milk that would buy, because you're running out of baby milk in America, I think.
Yes, formula. Yep, we're out of formula. Donald Trump only wanted $4 billion for his wall, and we couldn't get that, but we got $40 billion unaccounted for that we're throwing at Ukraine. So I look at that, and I saw who voted for it and who didn't. And I had a talk with, so I would never run against my member of Congress who was here in my district because I think she's doing a great job and she's voted appropriately. But I love my state. I'm a Texan. Granted, I've been a Texan for a little bit over a decade, and I have to think in like how opposition research may look into this, because I'm clearly thinking about running for office in 2024 and primarying another Republican, and they're going to say, by the way, the whole reason I want to, I hate politics. I hate DC. I hate the people who are there. I think that they're failures. I think that they're not worth the nickels compared to, or you know, pennies compared to the money that they're paid. And there are people who have been sitting in these offices just collecting paychecks off of the American people, not representing their districts. And so, I'm prepped. I'm primed to run and represent this state if I so choose in 2024. And I'm ready to go destroy some loser who is throwing money at these. It just literally, they had like 3 hours to read this bill and analyze where all this money went. It was one of those thick bills. And so I look at that and I'm like, how could you ever vote for that? And she's like, shame on you, honestly. And they just want to keep their position. They want to keep whatever money they might have invested in the military industrial complex or whatever kickbacks they may get. And they don't deserve to be there anymore. And more people like me are going to be angry, I think, in running and getting in. But I mean, look, I hate politics, and I think that's probably why I'm good at them.
And I would love to be in Texas. The problem is it's too hot. I was there 4 weeks ago, and it's just a bit too hot for someone from the UK. Although it does sound like the land of freedom, but it'd just be too much, far too hot.
Well, I don't know what it translates to, but it's 97 Fahrenheit today here.
That's bloody hot.
You get used to it. I live on a lake. It's nice here.
Yeah, maybe. So you're hoping to be on, you're serious looking at, because I'm sure you've said stuff in the past that will get you into trouble. Sure, come on, there must be something there.
Oh, yeah. I'm allowed to swear on here, right?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay,
yeah.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck because I'm authentic. And that's the one thing at the end of the day. I've said tons of stuff that has been offensive. I used to work blue as a comedian. They'll find all sorts of things and be like, Tim is a dirtbag. And it's like, yeah, okay, I'm a stand-up comic, but like I know how to vote for things, right? And to pretend that, man, I tell you what, if I run in 2024 and like my swearing or making crass jokes is like their big complaint against me, fuck them. Honestly, fuck them.
I'm looking forward to your running. I am absolutely looking forward. Were you looking at the politics? You wrote the book, I had Democrats, I had Republicans. I mean, if you were sitting doing something like that today, you've got Trump kind of fully in control of the Republican Party, which I think is a good thing on balance. Mm-hmm. You've got Biden not knowing what day of the week it is, and he's the best that the Democrats can put out. If you were sitting writing that, would you put stuff differently? Or if you were doing a couple of extra chapters, how would you do that?
Yeah, well, it would have been updated, and I'll tell you why. So I had, when I had originally written one of my earlier books, which I did a book on Romney and a book on Obama, and they were both number one in political humor on Amazon. I had predicted that the Republican Party needed a character like Trump, and actually one of the chapters in that book, people might think it's cheap. One of the chapters in that book, and it's an outdated book now, was one of those original chapters, and I literally described a character like Trump as what, and so I just literally one for one it and was like, hey, look, I predicted exactly what we needed, and we got it. And so now it would be much different in that I would probably call people out specifically, because my issue in that book and why I hated Republicans was that they weren't fighting back against a narrative that the Democrats had set for years. Yeah. I thought they were weak. And finally, people were waking up in the Republican Party and fighting back and making a difference and making a change. But man, they still suck on so many levels. And again, not to like it just because it happened, you know, and it's fresh in my mind. That $40 billion vote, how the hell can you vote for that? How the hell can you just throw away Americans' money when we have the worst inflation, when we have baby formula shortages, when we have, I mean, everything. Our meat plants, they're these major meat recalls. There's eggs are being recalled. Everything is being recalled. And like, I almost feel like it's a systemic attack on America and the food supply and all sorts of other issues. You know, you get me a tinfoil hat, I'll wear it. But how that can be happening and you're throwing money at another country, it's like, fuck you. You don't deserve to be in Congress representing people.
No, it's crazy because you guys pull out, I'll tell you guys, you're all under Biden there, but you pull out Afghanistan but decide to go to war against Russia because that's what it will mean. It doesn't make any sense.
What they should have done was told the Ukrainians if they want, they can have all the military equipment they want. They just got to go to Afghanistan and pick it up.
It's true. That'd be lovely. On when you look at Trump, his I mean America First policy, I think I probably like him really because he triggers the left so much. I like America First because that's what any politician should do, put their country first and not last like the Democrats seem to do. But just his ability to absolutely piss off the left and trigger them, it is a joy to watch. And I wonder, I mean, how does any one single person trigger the whole media industry in America to that extent?
Well, when they know that they're going to lose their power and they realize that they lose their narrative. I mean, we had a perfect narrative going for the longest time. Take a look at, like, right in a row, you've got best friends, right? So you got, you know, the Bush Senior, Bill Clinton, Bush Junior, Obama, they're all buddies. Carter, they're all buddies. And you're like, you know, they shouldn't be, right? Like, it's like, wait, why are they, how are they friends? I thought they were different politically. Turns out they're not. And so America's in a bad position right now, I think, because we realize we're in a bad position, right? I mean, if this continued without Trump, it's this like, well, it should be a decline. We would have never paid attention to it. But that's why they hated him, is that he exposed that. I mean, I think ultimately he's smarter than a lot of these people, and he's much more accomplished than a lot of these people who are in the media. You know, journalists want to be famous now. They don't want to actually tell a story. They don't want to learn. They want to be, you know, whatever it takes to get likes and clicks and views on things. That's why, I mean, they hate me. Look, I'm not even that big of a deal, but they hate me because I can tweet the word fart and it will get more likes and retweets than most of their hard-earned work trying to slam the right. I mean, that's the reality of it, is that they know they're losing control when a normal person, and that's the way the system was set up in America, you know, unlike your monarchy. It was supposed to be set up so that any farmer or any guy off the street could be president of the United States. You could walk in and win an election or be a representative. And we're going back to that. When you have social media, an unfettered social media, like a Getter, yeah, Everybody's on the same level. Everybody's on the same platform. When Twitter is, you know, not monitored and checked, and the wrong opinions aren't kicked off of it, which I don't know that that'll even happen under Elon, that puts everybody at the same level. So you can be a journalism student from Harvard who spent $200,000, $300,000 on your education that now works for the New York Times, or you can be Tim Young, a slob off the street who likes drinking, and you guys are equal. Actually, I'm way more listened to than those people. And that not only intimidates them, but it invalidates them in a fake world that they created on their own.
You mentioned about Getter and Twitter, and obviously people say, oh, isn't it wonderful? Twitter's going to be free. And I've seen lots of people start accounts up and get them kicked off again. Bannon's talked about, well, after 6-9 months, we can assess it. But then at the moment, Musk says, oh, it's all on hold. So do you think Musk, is he just playing games with it? Because all the stuff with crypto seemed to be him just having a bit of fun. Is Twitter like that as well? Or where do you think he's going to go with it?
I think he's going to end up getting it. I think he's going to get it for cheaper. I think what he did was he had his people take a look and see what they believe to be the bot amounts and the fake accounts. And you don't have to go far, right? So you just take a look at a Barack Obama account, right? And you see like all of the fake accounts and the filler on there. I do believe that they regularly pull off bots, but there are accounts that I believe, I mean, I could name a few, where I've seen bots bought. You go to the like the tweet off. There's God, what is it called? It's like one of those Twitter assessment sites where they tell you the percentage that's real and what's fake.
Yeah.
And you can actually pay for that so that it doesn't give you a rating. So there are a lot of Hollywood accounts that are like that, and they're all the same. So you'll see these accounts if you ever go to an account and that has paid for followers. You can go and click on one of the like non playable character type logos, take a look at who they follow, and it'll be like NBA on TNT, Barack Obama, a couple of random comics, and you'll see that it's from the same farm that paid for that thing. And so Twitter is saying that less than 5% of their site is that. Maybe, but I'm willing to bet it's a hell of a lot more. And I think Elon right now, the game is he's got 44 billion. He's going to look at it, be like, 20% of your site is fake. How about 30? And then I think the bid goes down and down and down, because what he's doing, this is a hostile takeover that we're watching in real time. And I'm a fan of his because of this. And I think he's smart. Actually, I'm a big fan of his because of what he's done with SpaceX. We gave over our NASA programs to him. And I think that's remarkable. You know, and I don't care so much for electric cars. I like a rocket that can land itself and save billions of dollars by coming back down from space and landing. That's awesome. Which, by the way, not to go like off the rails here, but I think that's why he likes Trump ultimately, is because Trump was like, oh, hey, you're doing better than NASA. Take it.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who let him do it. And I think that's why there's a Trump thing there, because Trump understands innovation and letting private industry do things. But I think really ultimately here, this is all about getting the price even farther down. I think he's a smart businessman. I think he's got great smart advisors. He's obviously in the tech realm, and they're going to screw over these people who now, I think he's gotten angrier since the smear tactics have happened and the smear articles have come out. And I think ultimately what he's going to do is get it for as cheap as possible and shame these people and then drag them. I think this is a dirty move that he's doing here to devalue this company and to make it worthless so he can come in and sweep up all the pieces. This is brilliant if you think about it. But ultimately, we don't know that he's going to change anything on Twitter. I mean, we've seen now in America many, many people who are smartly turn to conservatives to sell lots of stuff because they realize that market is there and it's half of this country. Again, like unlike, you know, I joke that I'm wearing my merchandise, but you look at somebody like Kanye West, who all of a sudden went from 1 year, he hosted the Porn Awards, the Pornhub Awards, and he was the producer of the Pornhub Awards. And the next year, he came out with a religious album. and he's around doing Sunday service, like singing with a church choir. And I'm telling people, hey, he's cashing in on you. And they're like, no. Every time I do this, by the way, I hate stupid conservatives. Okay. Because I wrote a book in 2012. My first experience with them was in 2012. I did a very deep dive. My book about Romney. I did a very deep dive on Romney. And I go, this guy's not conservative. I don't even think we should consider him a Republican. And people are like, you're a commie. You're this evil leftist, blah, blah, blah. They did the same thing again when I was like, hey, maybe don't rush to go buy Kanye West albums because he just he might be wearing a MAGA hat, but this is to sell things. I mean, he just literally did the Porn Awards.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to hear it. I'm a terrible person. And it's like people are was it Mark Twain? It's harder to convince someone that they've been lied to than of the lie or something like that. Yep. That was his line.
Yeah.
And that's over and over again. I look at this stuff and I'm like, guys, this person is so fake. It's so clear. And they don't get it. And there are a lot more examples of that, people cashing in on things. Like, I'm going to get in trouble if I talk about another one. Can we talk about the other one that I think is kind of that bothers me?
Well, no, but that whole thing in fake first, because people's lives are out there. It's not as if you can hide. It's not as if you can put out one image and then hide it. People want to be out there 24 hours a day. So whatever you're hiding is going to come out. So you can't really...
One would think, but there are other like obvious in your face things that bother me. And I think one of them, and I know, boy, am I going to get my ass kicked on this one, but it's fine. I'm not a fan of Dinesh D'Souza. I'm just not. And I know he's big on Getter and I know he's a big conservative, but his 2000 Mules film that everybody is like hyping up.
Yeah.
It's a good film in that, you know, it brings footage together and does statistics and all that stuff. But like, we know this stuff. We know it's out there. You're preaching to the choir. The only difference is you're getting people to pay for it.
Yeah.
And you're cashing in on it. And so like, I just be real about that and don't pretend like, you know, the marketing campaign on it. And this is why I didn't get invited. Clearly I don't get invited to these premieres anymore. But I just look at it and I'm like, look, this is a bigger issue. And I don't know, you know, you've got reporters out there like Julie Kelly. I don't know if you're familiar with Julie Kelly's work, but she's amazing. So she's amazing. She's done all the work on like the January 6th stuff and like the fraudulent election stuff, and a great follow on every platform that you can follow her on. And just a premier journalist, like a true journalist. And she's not making a documentary and charging people and then pushing the narrative that if you're not mentioning it as a conservative, you're a bad person. I mean, it's different too. Like, so like my take on a lot of things and why I did the I Hate Democrats, I Hate Republicans book years ago is that what if everyone's wrong? You know, and nobody ever wants to say that. What if everybody's wrong? You know, the other side of the 2000 Mules film thing is that Newsmax and Fox wouldn't talk about it, wouldn't mention it. And I'm like, wait a second. This is clearly what happened. He's clearly put together this footage. I mean, it's real stuff. I've seen the movie for free, by the way. And it's clear that this happened. These election mules are a thing. So I'm not sure why they won't cover it on Fox or on Newsmax, but... So everybody's wrong. I think everybody, and over again in politics, everybody is wrong. And when you come in, and that's me being a cynic, but me being altruistic about it too. Like I would never, again, if I run for office, I'll openly say what I've done wrong or I've screwed up. And that's what a lot of people won't do. But you look at these scenarios and you go, Yeah. You know, like when in America we have, you know, shootings, like police shooting unarmed black men like every other month or whatever, and it becomes a big thing. I was trained as a public defender in Baltimore City. And so I've seen every bad cop known to me. I've seen all the bad cop actions you could possibly see. And I never rushed a judgment. I'm like, probably there's error on both sides or there's bad stuff on both sides on these things. And usually, you know, we're trained that you have to pick this side or that side instead of going like, what if we just look at the whole thing, step back and go, everybody's wrong. And people aren't willing to do that because we've been fed this kind of entertainment, clickbaity entertainment that everything has to be black or white. Anyway, I just talked for 20 minutes there. Go ahead.
But no, on the Dinesh stuff, I mean, obviously Lindell was putting everything out in the symposium, exposing it. And I mean, how it's all out there, and yet is the public don't give a damn? I mean, they're part of this. They participate. This is the system they get. The media don't give a damn. I mean, where do you go with that whenever no one really cares that the system doesn't work and they just shrug their shoulders and get on with life?
Where do you go with that, right? Then you get what you get, right? Yeah. I mean, that's it. That's then you lose.
It's comedy then.
Yeah. Then you just laugh at it. Then you go grab a drink and you laugh at it. And you sit back and you do an interview with Hearts of Oak and say everybody's wrong and sell some merchandise before you die. You know, it's like one of those, like, what can you do when nobody does anything? What is the actual solution? Is there something? And the thing is, in the 1700s or the 1800s, if an election was stolen, the solution is the town goes and gets their pitchforks and torches. And they show up.
Solution.
And they haul the guys out, right? But we've had it so good for so long that the government is now a fortress, and we are not on the same level playing field as the government. And that's the Second Amendment was meant to make sure that we were on the same level playing field. And I know that, like, people try to interpret it as, you know, oh no, it's not this and that, and, you know, well, our militia. And it's like, yes, the concept was we just got finished kicking Britain's ass. Just want to throw that in there. And when you read the Bill of Rights, it's them saying, and I always, when I talk about this, you have to remember, here's guys who just put their lives on the line. They knew that they could have died for their freedom. They then spent the entire summer wearing wool and terrible wigs in a room, sweating their asses off. And they're all drunks too, by the way. All they had to drink was water and whiskey, right? Tea, water, whiskey, and tea, coffee too, I guess. But like mainly whiskey, because that's how the whole revolution started. They were drinking at a pub and they're like, fuck, let's get rid of these guys. So you got very angry old men who just put their lives on the line. And if you don't realize that the Bill of Rights is them yelling, it's everything that Britain had done to America. And they're saying, this will never happen again. This will never happen again. This will never happen again. Number two was there so that if things screwed up, they could show up to the Capitol or wherever the guys are, knock on the door, and they're all outside with the militia going, hey, let's have a talk. And we've had it so good for so long, and the government shifted to make sure that, you know, the people in power stayed in power, that we've lost that. So we had a system in place to take care of things if things went awry and elections were stolen. That system is no longer there, and merely talking about it, hello NSA, who's probably paying attention to this now. You know, I mean, that's where this is, right? Like, so we're just not in an America that has a system set up to correct for fake elections and for stolen elections.
And then the issue is, of course, on the Republicans. Have a look at the midterms coming up, and then 2024. I mean, you sit there as a Republican and think, well, what? Why the hell should I actually go out? Does it matter if I go out, or are they already counted up? It's quite difficult then to energize your base.
Yeah, I hope that everyone still believes in the system. I hope that. I do. I like, not in California maybe, but like here in Texas, I absolutely do. I'm pushing off a trip that I'm supposed to take by a few days so that I can vote in the runoff election for, there are some important primary runoffs here. So I'm going to make sure that I get in on that. And I mean, that's... There are I think states are working to reinforce, Republican states are working to reinforce elections so that people can have faith in that system again. But I think really the way you get back to it is you have one election day instead of an election month, and you closely monitor. No drop boxes, none of this nonsense. You just have one, and you go back to paper ballots in person with ID, I mean, that's how most third world countries vote. I think we go back to the way that third world countries vote. It worked in America for 240 years, and all of a sudden, you know, another way to manipulate the system is adding in all the digital stuff and drop boxes, and you can vote for over a month. So, you know, you can't. I mean, it's such garbage, and it's so obvious to see what's happening.
Do you actually, what is the ID situation for voting? Is it state by state different, or tell me what it's like there and I'll tell you what it's like here. So yeah, what is it like in America?
It's state by state. And so like Texas, you do, but California, you don't. New York, you don't. New York City, they're even allowing illegal immigrants to vote, which is mind blowing to me. So what do you have ID there? What do they take your blood sample there?
No, you're nothing. So you don't need any. You turn up, and as long as you know a name and an address, you can vote. So you could go a dozen times and just give a different name. You could vote 12 times. No problem.
Maybe I'll go over there and get elected.
It could be easier. But I mean, again, the demand is for ID whenever you travel, and the hell you have to go through now, or have had to do for travel in the last 2 years, where you need so many documentations, you need to quadruple prove yourself. But hey, you can go and you can actually vote for a government and you need nothing. That situation here, it's different in some European countries, but I don't get why the Democrats don't want to make sure that it is a system whereby if you're an individual, you have the right to vote yourself. And surely anyone would want that if they believe in the democratic system.
Yeah, if they believe they could win. I think that's the thing, right? Like in high school, when I ran for student government president and won, you know, like, God knows, 25 years ago or whatever it is now, 24 years ago, I was confident that I won and I wouldn't have to cheat to win. And, you know, I went to sleep that night and woke up the next morning and I was student government president. And that's the way it should be. But, you know, when you don't think that you can pull it off, you're going to, you know, and there's a lot at stake when you have, I mean, there was no money at stake then, but there, you know, when there's tons of money at stake with lobbying and big pharma and everything else you can think of, to forget the power. It's all money, man. They want to make sure that they maintain their income.
With the elections coming up, is it that you have a bunch of candidates from each party, and then if you're a registered Republican, you get to vote for who should be the Republican candidate so many months before? So is that what's happening at the moment?
Yeah, that happens in some places. There's also like primaries where you can just vote it, regardless party. You can vote in like the other parties. It's like there's like crazy nonsense. I believe it's called a jungle primary, but like there's just these. There's nonsensical like different primaries where people can just vote in whatever, and then that becomes strategy for like Democrats to then vote in a Republican primary to vote for the worst candidate. I mean, it's such garbage. But here in Texas, Republicans vote Republican. And it was crazy. When I went to vote in the primary, I think there was like 64 issues or something like that. And it took me like 6 minutes to vote or something, and to vote on all 64 things.
What do you mean voting on an issue, not a person?
So there's issues. So like in the Republican primary, they put things out to vote, and in primary elections everywhere, they put things out to vote that like to see like what the stance is, what your stance is on certain issues, what you believe the party should move forward with. I think it's pretty smart, right? Like it's a good way to poll people and get vibes. And so there were like 64 issues and it took me like 6 minutes to vote. Right. And I'm leaving and there's all these people who are voting, and literally someone goes, how did you do that so fast? I go, I understood what I was coming in to do and did my research. Like, this isn't, again, I'm real personable. And I'm like, how are you shocked? You know, they send out sample ballots. You can look up, you can do research on candidates before you show up. And if you're not doing that, shame on you. Like, what are you doing voting? Being a totally uninformed voter, showing up and just picking names, which, by the way, in 2012, I was in Texas. I was going to run. We have a position called Railroad Commissioner here in Texas. And it's a traditional name because it started as the railroad and now it's oil and gas and electricity and like a very, very like critical whatever position. I had jokingly floated that I was going to run for Railroad Commissioner on my love of trains. And I got a phone call from a friend of mine who was the comms director of the state Republican Party at the time. And he goes, Tim, you don't want to do that, do you? You don't want to, I mean, neither one of us, you don't want a 6-year job as railroad commissioner, do you? And I go, are you saying I would win? And they had, so on the ballot, Tim Young is a real easy, white sounding name, good American boy. And the other guy was like I think it was some sort of Italian name or something. And I'm like, are you telling me I'd win if I just put my name on the ballot because people don't pay attention? And he got real quiet on the phone. I go, so how long are you going to be paying for my lunch then to keep me off this ballot? And I got a bunch of free drinks out of it. But and I didn't want a job for six years. And I understand the weight of it. But like, it's comical to me that such a critical position could be won by my merely, you know, paying the whatever $25 fee or whatever it is to, you know, put my name on a ballot and slap it on there. That should scare the shit out of everybody.
Well, maybe you could have fixed the train. I mean, coming from Europe, you actually get pissed off for the trains, but you actually realize they do work. That's a fairly quick method of moving from A to B. I couldn't believe I wanted to get across Florida, no trains. I wanted to get from LA to San Francisco, no trains. A couple of weeks I'm going over and want to go from DC to New York and the Americans are laughing at the train. It's a simple way, so you don't have to sit in a car and drive 4 or 5 hours. You can actually work and do stuff. How is it that your trains are so horrendously bad?
I love your segue from that. I was literally going to run. Like, it has like almost, that position has almost nothing to do with trains at all.
Run, come on.
But so here's the thing. I did not own a car until 2 weeks ago here in Texas. I made it a year and a half being back full time in Texas without a car, because I understand getting from point A to point B, walking and riding a bike and doing that kind of thing. And I did that in DC. So living in DC, it's very easy. DC to New York corridor, when I spent my time there, there's trains everywhere. And you're right, it's so much easier. I mean, I traveled the country during 2020. I was on the road for 10 months and I did planes, trains, and automobiles to get around. And I took the train up the California coast, and the train up the California coast, basically the stops, it's nowhere convenient once you get out of like the major cities. It's interesting to me that we don't have a bigger infrastructure with that. But America, you know, when we started really expanding, we had innovators like Ford and we went roadways. It's probably cheaper. And then the government didn't have to spend as much money, so that people had more freedom to drive around and spend more money on American products. I think that was the idea. I could be completely wrong on that, but that's just me speculating. That would make sense.
One last thing I want to ask you is about when you look out at the kind of the chaos in the states, you've got the possible change on the Roe versus Wade, which would be absolutely amazing, unbelievable, but will cause absolute ructions as well. You've got the stuff in Ukraine. You've got a government not knowing what they're doing. You've got supply chain crisis. You've got food crisis. So many issues. I mean, for you personally, do you look at those and think actually there's one that you want to focus on either for comedy or commentating, or because that's an area you want to get involved politically? Or is there a specific kind of part of the jigsaw or even on social media on the like free speech? Is there one thing that you think that's an issue and I'd like to get involved in that and fix it?
You're good at this. There is not one. I think just in general, I mean, free speech is part of it, but I think I just want people to think. And my concept of everything I do, look, I almost got my doctorate in public policy. I'm a lot smarter character than I pretend to be. My concept, and I yelled at professors about this when I dropped out of a doctoral program in public policy. I have a law degree and did a bunch of other shit here, and have worked in writing policy for a long time. Let's take the character off, right? The character of Tim is a goof who hates everything. And I do truly hate everything. And I like drinking, but the real Tim is someone who argued with professors in a doctoral program for public policy and said, why are we using big words when our concepts should be to be able to share our intellect and intelligence with other people? If you can't share it with other people, what's the point of having it other than being an asshole? And so I understand that people, I think everybody, there are stupid people, clearly, but I think everyone is born on the same playing field and we all have different opportunities in life to get different types of education. And so my concept of my entire career and everything I do is to empower people and to make them realize that they're no different than the people who are in office, who are telling them, trying to restrict them. And I think that's how you empower people, is making them realize, because for so long, again, when we talked about earlier, when I said, you know, our redress of grievances earlier was, you know, if things go bad, you show up with the militia, right? And we don't have that anymore because the government elevated itself, as would any government who wants to stay in power, and made people feel like they're down here. And so my entire concept of when I host radio in America and when I do everything that I do, I recently have been saying, I want you to take a look at the people who are setting the rules, these social rules, right? So the people who are saying that you need to identify my 18 genders and yada, yada, and all this garbage. If you met them in person, would you respect them? Instead of someone on social media trying to eliminate you. If somebody came up to you in purple hair and had one of those, you know, some frumpy chick comes up and purple hair, one of those nose rings, tattoos up and down her arms, you know, doesn't shave, and says, you need to respect my whatever, you would give her the middle finger and walk on.
Yep.
But it's somehow different because of the structure. And they understand that, right? They understand that the people who are being oppressed don't really understand that, but the people who are trying to take the power do understand that. When I saw the other day the Treasury Secretary saying that abortion is critical to our economy here, Janet Yellen. Janet Yellen looks like a crazy aunt who smells like mothballs and cat piss, right? It looks like she cuts her own hair. If you met her in public and she said that to you, you would give her the middle finger and walk on. And so that's where all of this needs to be, is a middle finger and walk on. And in 2020, under all these COVID restrictions, so many people just rolled over and because they believed that they were listening to someone smarter than them or with more expertise, when they're just listening to somebody who's cashing in on them, right? Whether it be power or money. And I just want people to realize that, like, I'm no different, right? I sold merchandise because I was smart and came up with merchandise. I sold books because I, you know, did that. And that's just my career. That's my job. But I'm no different than anybody else. These other people who are trying to suppress people want you to think that they are different because that's how they keep their social structure in place. We're all the same. And once you realize we're all the same, you know, okay, one of the other examples that I really love bringing up is the truck driver who I think his campaign was he had $152 or $156 in it in New Jersey, and he upset the longest running president of the state Senate, who's a Democrat. Who's just a random truck driver. Yeah, his entire campaign expenditure was one trip to Dunkin' Donuts. I'm not even kidding you. That's like what he spent like $12 at Dunkin' Donuts. When that can happen in this country, people need to wake up. That, of all things, anybody can win. Anybody's supposed to be there. Like, it doesn't matter. You're an American. You should have a representative in Congress or in any elected office. And it can be you if you don't think that it's good enough. And people don't realize that. And so that's my issue. It's not like any specific issue like abortion or whatever. My issue is empowering people and making them realize that they're just as good, if not better, than the people who are holding them down.
Tim,
that got deep. Fuck.
No, absolutely. It's a perfect point to end. Absolutely. Tim, thank you for your time. All the details are in the bottom there. And which piece of merchandise does Tim Young endorse most on his website?
Any of it, man. I'm just lucky people buy my stuff. This one's the important one, though, to me, because No is my tattoo, by the way. I think I've done this before for people, but... See, beautiful. No is there, and then nope. Yeah. But it was that's the most important sentence anyone can have in their lives. It's quick, it's respectful, it's to the point. Shut things down that you don't like. And so that's why I have no everywhere. And by the way, I made this hat at the mall, and it took like 50 emails from people saying, do you sell that hat, before I decided to sell this hat and then go into the whole merchandise thing.
And then if you turn it around, it can be about someone turning you on. So yeah, it can be a completely different one. On that, Tim, thank you once again. Thank you to our viewers for watching, our listeners for listening. Do make sure and follow Tim if you're not already. One of those on Getter that certainly I've come to see over the last 6 months while being on Getter. So all the good things that come from Getter.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list. Donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.